Hello, this is the first story of my new podcast, Horror Stories from Reddit. This first story is posted by u/fidelity/_x. The story's name is, "But the Door Was Locked." The night after I came home from the doctor's, I took my prescriptions for the first time. The prescriptions were for paranosomnia. The way parasomnia works for me is when I fall asleep, sometimes I wake up and do random things, like I'm awake and fully aware of it, but never actually open my eyes until a little later. I might do something that doesn't feel right. For example, I try to pick something up, but it's not there. The prescriptions I was given was meant to help me open my eyes in the morning. One night I fell asleep to feel the comfort of my dog sitting next to me. I can remember distinctively a dog sounding like mine barking outside, keeping me awake. But who am I kidding? All dogs sound the same. Maybe the new neighbors had bought dogs. Anyway, I had the same thing happen again. I wake up and my eyes never open. I feel my dog sitting next to me and I brush his back as I feel the fur go through my fingers. I fall back asleep. My alarm wakes me up at 7 a.m. like the normal. I walk outside to get some fresh air. I feel my dog walk through my legs. I don't remember him coming outside with me, though, as the door was locked all night, like always. I come back inside and realize it definitely. It wasn't my dog next to me. The window in my room was cracked open, but not enough for something like my dog to climb inside. I can see a bit of fur on the windowsill that wasn't my dog's color either. My dog is a dark brown, but this fur was a pale brown, almost beige. I pick it up and it feels synthetic. Now I know for sure it was 100% not my dog inside. It was a fur coat. That was the first story for the episode today. I'm gonna look for some more, and I'll be back soon. So the second story is posted by u/themadman94. The story is called The Agony from Below, Part 1. It's an eerie Friday morning with a crisp chill on the air in the small town of Oak Riverton. The tree leaves have begun their captivating transition from life to death. Carved pumpkins and skeleton decorations overflow the streets of this quiet suburban town. For some, it is the best time of the year. Halloween. A loud crash breaks the stillness of the early morning. Narrowing in on the source of the commotion appears a quaint yellow house with a freshly painted white picket fence. Inside lives the Parrish family. Eleanor, Ella for short, is a single mother in her late 30s to two boys, Tyler and Alex. Her flat iron shoulder length brunette hair hides her early onset aging caused by all the partying she did years before she became a mother. Her oldest son, Tyler, is 16 years old and shares her same curly brown hair. His dark brown eyes aid him in hiding the pain that was caused by his parents. Divorced 2 years prior. Alex, the youngest, recently celebrated his 9th birthday earlier this week. He looks to be finally growing into his chubby cheeks with his mother, which his mother loves to kiss and squeeze. Unlike his brother, young Alex has bright blue eyes and dirty blonde hair, characteristics he inherited from his father. "Boys," exclaimed Ella, "what did you two do?"
"I didn't do anything, Mom. It was all Tyler's fault," says Alex in an anxious tone.
"Shut up, you little twerp. I'll beat your butt for snitching," shouts Tyler. Ella walks into her dated kitchen to find her two boys wrestling over a bowl of cereal, which has now been shattered into countless pieces onto the floor.
"Stop it now," shouts Ella. "I want you guys to clean this mess up immediately and then tell me exactly what happened." Rattled by their mother's harsh tone, the boys untangle themselves from each other and begin to clean up the mess. With the floor now spotless, young Alice, dressed in his new Batman costume, begins to explain his side of the story.
Well, you see, what happened was that I was sitting here minding my own business, eating my blueberries, when out of nowhere, Tyler comes up behind me and scares me. He made me knock my bowl of cereal on the ground. I told him I don't like being scared, but he doesn't listen because he's a bully. Immediately, Tyler chimes in, "Oh, shut up! You're such a little baby. I only scared him a little bit. He didn't need to overreact and throw his bowl on the ground like some sort of tweaker." Looking at her older son dressed in what she can only see as teenage Angus in its purest form. "Tyler, what in the heck are you wearing?" Tyler stands in front of her dressed in all black with corpse paint and a Slayer t-shirt on that reads, "God hates us all." "What, Ella?" "It's my Halloween costume," explained Tyler with a wise tone in his remark. "First off, it is mother to you, not Ella. Secondly, no wonder you scared your mother. You look like literal death." "That's the point, mother. It's metal. I'm supposed to look evil and scary," he says, throwing devil horns in the air. Ella shakes her head with disapproval. She wants to make him go change, but she knows better than to start that fight with him, especially since today is her big interview for a management position at work, so she's already stressing over that. "Fine. If you want to look like some sort of crazy person, then you go right ahead. I'm too tired and too much of a hurry to deal with more than one fiasco this morning," Ella says in an exhausted manner. "Just make sure you put a jacket on before I take you to school. I don't need this principal calling me saying you're freezing your butt off." A quick glance at the clock shows it to be 6:45. The boys' schools were 5 minutes apart from each other, which meant that in order to get there on time, she needed to leave in at least 10 minutes or be doomed to the early morning traffic, in what appeared to be speed that only a mother could have. Ella got both of her boys' lunches packed, made sure they brushed their teeth, and were in the car ready to go in a mere 8 minutes. As she closes and locks the door behind her, she takes a deep breath and says to herself, "Everything is going smoothly. You got this, Ella." Now, I'm going to go on to the second part. This is posted by the same person, u/themadman_madman94. Part 2. The Parrish family station wagon pulls up in front of Tyler's high school, Oak Riverton High. Tyler swings open the door and jumps up before Ella is even able to come to a complete stop.
"Have a great day at school, sweetie. I love you," she says Ella. Pretending he didn't hear her, Tyler slams the door behind him and strolls over to his friends.
"Hey, Tyler, sick costume," shouts Johnny from across the parking lot. The rather short 5'3" dirty blonde Johnny Atkins has been Tyler's best friend since the first grade. "Thanks, bro," says Tyler as they finally meet up at the entrance to school.
"So where's your costume, Johnny?" He glances down at his shirt and then looks back at Tyler with a puzzled face.
Dude, can you really not tell? I mean, it only says exactly what is on my shirt." It is at this moment that the boy's other friend, Theo, or as everybody calls him, Porky, walks up to say hello.
"What's up, boys?"
In unison, Tyler and Johnny both bellow out aloud,
"Porky!"
Theo Goodman is a plump, blonde-haired 15-year-old who has no sense of style and could care less. It is for this exact reason that the boys like him. He dresses how he wants and almost always has some sort of sugar snacks or sweet pastries in his lunch, hence how he got the name Porky. "So, Porky, do you get my costume because Numb Nuts over here doesn't?" says Johnny.
"Hey," shouts Tyler. Porky laughs out loud. "That's a good one, Johnny. Of course I get it, Tyler. It says this shirt is my Halloween costume. How do you not understand?"
Tyler responds in a defensive manner.
"No, I understood what it meant. I just thought it was dumb."
"Sure, whatever you say, dude," says Johnny.
"Whatever, guys. Let's go to class.
The bell's about to ring," Tyler proposes while shrugging his shoulders to defeat. The first period bell rings and the boys go their separate ways to their respective classrooms.
"Hello, Oak Riverton High, and happy Halloween." Remember, students, that after lunch today, we will be having our Halloween rally. Get your holiday spirit ready because we will be having a contest and giving out prizes for best costume. See you there, Cougars. The loudspeaker fades away with a subtle crack and pop. During lunchtime in the cafeteria, the three boys are sitting at their usual table discussing the Halloween rally.
You guys want to go to the rally? Asks Porky.
Johnny replies, well, I think it's mandatory, so I don't know if we even have a choice. Overhearing their conversation from the next table over, Lily butts in.
You guys should totally go and vote for the best costume. Vote me for the best costume, sorry.
Lily Davis was the most beautiful and popular girl in school. She has flowing red hair and skin that appears as smooth as silk. One bat of her emerald green eyes could make any teenage boy grumble. However, she was not your stereotypical popular girl. She had an edgy side to her that only few could see. If they looked close enough, it was only for those reasons, among others, why Tyler had been in love with her since he first saw her freshman year. And why would he want to do that? Asked Johnny and Porky. Because I look absolutely adorable in my little Red Riding Hood costume. Don't I, Tyler? She says, shooting a flirty glance toward the awkward teen. Even with all the eerie black and white makeup on his face, everyone could see the rosy red shade his cheeks were turning. School can't make me do anything. I don't want to, exclaimed Tyler in a true rebellious fashion. Oh, be quiet, Tyler. You're just acting like a bad boy because you want to impress Lily. You know you're going to go, says Johnny, trying to tease his friend. In an urgent attempt to not seem as embarrassed as he felt, Tyler jumps and said, we should skip the rally altogether. Skip the rally? Everyone says in perfect unison. Are you kidding? We'd get in trouble if we didn't go. The morning announcement said it's mandatory. Tyler cuts in. Oh, stop being a bunch of babies. These school rallies are the same old crap. They cram us into our nasty, dingy crap gym and make us sit there pretending like we have school spirit. I say we call in an early day and check out the abandoned mine out on Tillman Road, the group gasps. But my parents said to never go there, stammered Porky. My mom said it's too dangerous and we could get hurt real easy if we get near it. At this moment, Johnny mocks. I call bull crap. She just said that because she doesn't want you to ever have any fun. Johnny's right, says Tyler, happy that his best friend is now supporting his idea. We've got nothing to worry about. Besides, if anything looks too sketchy, we'll turn around and head home. Come on, it'll be fun. Porky, unsure of what to say, responds, but what if we get caught? Aren't you worried about the principal or your mom finding out we ditched school? In a boisterous manner, Tyler shuts out, crap the principal and crap my mom. Ain't nobody gonna stop me from having a good time. The boys were both taken aback by this rebellious new side of their best friend. They pondered if this new attitude was brought on to match the vibe of his costume, or if it was a desperate attempt to impress the girl he longed to kiss. Captivated in the heat of the moment, Porky finally agrees to the plan. Freak it, guys, I'm in. Specifically choosing to use the one word his mother told him never to say. All right, that makes three of us. What about you, Lily? Are you brave enough to share in our adventure? Tyler says while motioning towards her. Your little adventure does sound fun. But what about the costume contest? Everyone will be expecting me to win and I can't let them down. Tyler can tell based off the unsure sound in her voice that deep down she doesn't want to go. He needs a convincing enough argument to fully persuade her to come with. There's no doubt you're going to win, Lily. You look beautiful. Lily blushes. But wouldn't you rather join in on something more uncertain than a stupid high school Halloween rally? Plus, you never know if we'd end up finding some deserted gold. Lily's green eye light up. Could it be a real-life adventure that sounds as if it could be straight out of an Indiana Jones movie? She thinks to herself.
Known to no one, Indiana Jones was Lily's favorite movie. Throughout her childhood, she was obsessed with the character, often dressing up as him even when it wasn't Halloween. However, once she started puberty and moved up to middle school, the fun she used to have slowly faded away, easily becoming one of the most beautiful girls in class. The other girls naturally gravitated towards her. With her newfound popularity, she was no longer able to enjoy the nerdy things she used to for fear of ridicule. Gold, you say? It seems that this little ditch they has turned into a full-fledged treasure hunt. I do believe it has. I make no guarantees, but I can promise it will be a heck of a lot more fun than winning a no-homework pass or whatever stupid prizes that are giving away, Tyler says while shooting a flirtatious wink her way. Red-faced from Tyler's boldness, Lily smiles and agrees to join their boys on their journey. To be continued. That's where I'm going to stop today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed, and I'll keep on reading tomorrow.